This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Have mercy, Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Brad. I'm still waiting for that bloody email. Where is it? Lee, you're going to hate this.
Why?
Because I've done it on my phone.
And nothing's happened.
Hang on. No, it is here. It is here.
What, you've got it here?
I've got it here, here. I'm going to read it out. The boss of Velka Entertainment is one Nicola. Oh, it's another difficult name. Valcasara. V-A-L-C-A-S-A-R-A. Nicola, if you're listening, your team's just got 10 grand, mate.
Brilliant. Well done. Where's she from? Do we know?
No.
Oh.
No.
Is she from England? From America?
She'd have to be from England, I think, because...
Oh, we've got, because it was a competition in England. No, it could have been an international one.
It wasn't, because I've got a phone number here, but I'm not reading that out on air.
See, ladies and gentlemen, he's a member of Anonymous, keeping secrets.
I've got a phone number, it ends in 501, which is... Oh, jeans, isn't it?
A pair of jeans.
Yeah. Well, Nicola can afford a pair of jeans now, that's for sure. Libraries are to store UK web content... Right. Has anybody told the libraries in the UK that the US has been doing this for ages, including UK websites?
Well, I see your point, but my point is very simple. You know, the libraries, British libraries, have chucked out all books, right? Yeah. So there's plenty of shelf space. They need something to put on the shelf space as they've denuded the world of the very basics of education.
Right.
You know, but why do we want to keep people's tweets? Why do we want to say, you know, somebody like says, I had a croissant for breakfast. Woo, we better put that in the British Library.
The archive will cover 4.8 million websites, it claims. I don't know how it works that out, because that's going to be hysterically funny. And will include magazines, books, and academic journals.
They're written by journalists. Why would you want to keep that? Because that'll all be wrong.
Yeah. You said that, not me.
I know. I was just getting it in before you did. It's also they're going to keep the Beano.
Well, that's a
point. And Stephen Hawking's website.
Right.
And the unofficial Armed Forces Bulletin Board, which I'm not going to say.
What, us?
Eric.
It is. It's A-R-R-S-E.
I know, but we're not supposed to say words like that.
But it's not. It's a proper mnemonic.
All right. Arse.
Do you know, years ago, as a radio ham, I used to go driving through this town, no, village, which had a double-barreled name, and the second part of it was Bottom.
Crinkly.
No, well, not crinkly, but some of the old radio hams used to get very upset with me, so I used to emphasise the bit by going, little bottom! And they used to get really upset with me, I don't know why. Anyway, what I'm concerned about more than anything, Lee, is if libraries are struggling so much, a project to store 4.8 million websites, even if it's automated, is going to be a heck of a lot of human work as well. So why are they spending the money there? Why don't they just leave it to the universities to do, like Cambridge and Trinity?
Well, the government's doing it anyway, isn't it?
Of course it is anyway. And the fact is, seriously, boys and girls, if you want to go and look back at RTI.fm when it first started and look at the horrendous website we had in those days, you can do that right now by going to websites that have been on the internet since day one. And, hey, presto, where you go? I mean, what's the point of having this website now when the internet's been going for 20 years? You've lost 20 years of content.
Absolutely. And why do the British Library want to do it? Despite what you say, they actually say, categorically, they're going to save millions of tweets and Facebook status updates. These are not important things to the world.
Well, they might be mine.
Well, it might be mine as well, actually. I never thought, yeah, all right, it's a good thing.
Exactly. I wonder how they're getting away with that. There's two things I'm going to say now. One of which is, how do they know if the site's in the UK or not?
Yeah.
Because a lot of companies now, because of cost of hosting sites...
It'd be written in English.
Not necessarily.
No, you're quite right.
Thank you. Can be in all sorts of languages, so that messes you up. Number two, a lot of UK companies host their websites in Germany, because Germany is an incredibly good place to host a website at the moment. So if it's hosted in Germany, the actual coding that's behind all of this will say, oh, it's in Germany. So are they going to discount that? Are they going to discount non-English sites? How the devil are they going to know?
Why do they only want to collect things in England as well, just because you call the British Library? That's ludicrous. Because this endeavour is worldwide. This is connecting the world together. I don't agree with it, like I've said for years. I don't agree with the internet, and I don't agree with the way it operates. But it is a global thing. And so the petty, stupid English are now going to just collect things from England.
Just tell that to CNN. Anyway, an expensive way to say, let's spend the night together. The Rolling Stones are to perform in Hyde Park, but there'll be no free butterflies and white frocks this time round. You're going to have to pay for it.
Marvellous. Ladies and gentlemen, he's just ruined my joke. Anyway, yeah. I was going to say, I know I'll make a joke. This isn't a joke, this is the truth. I'll make a joke out of the fact that the Stones look like they've just been allowed out for the afternoon from a home for the elderly and the infirm. Well, that original concert in 1969, 2 days after Brian Jones had died, I was actually lucky enough to be there. And it was one of the most moving bits of rock and roll I've ever seen. There was Mick reading Byron wearing his best dress, like you said. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful, powerful, incredible, visceral experience that changed or potentially changed the face of rock and roll. But do we really want the Stones to be back?
Do you know what? I'm afraid to say, Lee, they'll sell the tickets.
Of course he will. Of course he will. There'll be loads of bath chairs there and all sorts of things.
Yeah, but I mean, last year, people got upset because when they went to the O2 Arena in London, £400 for a ticket. That's ludicrous.
Well, it is. It is. And the Stones are good. I've been to a recent concert there. The problem with them is you remember Keith Richard and Mick Jagger as a pair of performers who actually, in their own way, particularly Mick, rivaled that Michael Jackson monkey person, right? But now it really is what it is. Like his Royal Bobness has moved on to be in the same arenas as them, but he now has accepted his age. He's become an old blues man. He sits behind a piano. He stands behind a microphone and doesn't try to gyrate like Michael Jackson. He does what he should do. He has dignity. Unfortunately, I find that Mick Jagger should be doing what he's doing.
Grow old disgracefully is far better than gracefully.
I agree with you. Disgracefully, not without dignity.
No, okay. But the trouble is, I know this is always levied at bands like the incredibly brilliant and highly successful and will be here for donkey's years even when they're gone, Status Quo. But, you know, the Stones just made a couple of records.
Yeah, the Stones made some brilliant records.
They just made a couple and repeated them over and over again.
What a hideous thing to say. That is Status Row, right? That is Status Crow. The Stones made incredible records like Sympathy for the Devil and Beggar's Banquet and Factory Girl. Looking for a Factory Girl. What a stunning bit of folk rock that was.
Ah, right, okay. Oh, anyway, they're going to do this concert in Hyde Park. I don't know how many people are going to get to go, but it's set up for this year. And good luck. I'll wait for the telly programme to come out, if I bother.
And they're doing it at the O2 Arena, ladies and gentlemen. That's because they need the oxygen.
No, I'll tell you what, I'll wait for it to come out on a has-been TV channel, and then I might not even bother anyway.
On a video.
Yeah. The most memorable Bond girl yet was the title levied as the Good Queen one. Received the BAFTA for her recognition of support, a lifetime support, for the British film and television industry. And I have to say, games as well, because BAFTA does cover all three of them these days. And I have to say, it was a lovely thing, and I saw the pictures where there was the Queen standing there with a glass of vino, mate.
I know. I thought it was Vimto, but no, she was there. She was doing it right. Yeah,
she's there.
And it is a good thing. It is a good thing. It's one of those things that's, I suppose, in a way, it's inconsequential. It doesn't change the face of the world. It doesn't shut Google down. It doesn't get rid of Anonymous. But it actually shows a really good mark of respect to our monarch,
who is a very genuine person.
I think that is said and done, and the case is rested on that. She is genuine and kind and quite generous.
And so warm.
And quite attractive.
Anyway, it's like looking at me, mum, you silly beggar. She is a very warm character, very, very, very nice character. And I just thought the way she did that Bond bit for the Olympics, I just thought that was outstanding. Absolutely. I loved every second of that. It was brilliant.
It was. And for a monarch to stand up, like, you've got that that bloke in Korea, that little, like, Gangnam Dance bloke who's now running the country.
Yeah.
Where's his dignity? Where's his style? You know, I'm going to blow up America because they've put a thing on the edge of my country.
He's got the charisma of a dead worm.
Yeah. The silence then was because I thought of a joke to rip off for that. But as it reached me lips, I thought, you can't say that.
No, probably not. But anyway, congratulations to Her Majesty for the BAFTA award, and well deserved as well, Mum. The Muppets co-creator Jane Henson has died of cancer, sadly. But she's, you know, she had a good time. She was with Jim since 1959. And they had five kids as well. And she was the Muppets, the same as Jim Henson. She was within that Muppet show. And a lot of Jane is stamped all over that creation. And what a creation it was, eh?
Well, it is. But also, you got to remember what else they did. And she was involved in, like, Sesame Street.
Yep.
The Dark Crystal. Yep. Labyrinth.
Yeah, yeah.
Fraggle Rock.
Fraggle
That's
Rock was good.
That's where the stones should be.
Yeah, Fraggle Rock, yeah.
Yeah, what was that? That cult series. It was a cult series, wasn't there? Sci-fi cult series. Farscape.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's it. It's on everybody's lips, isn't it? Dun 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 dun. Welcome to the Muppet Show! And
what's that?
The Muppets. It's the intro music.
It doesn't go like that, does it?
It does. Dun 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 dun. Muppets. It's then the time for the frog. No? Kermit, my love, when do I get to sing? No, anyway, rest in peace, Mum. You're a lovely lady. I love this.
And she made her mark on the world. That's the thing you've got to say about her.
Indeed.
She made her mark on the world, and that's what we put on this earth to do, to make a mark on this world, and she did it.
I would do another drum solo here, but we've done two today already. For this next story,
she's drunk it all.
No, but she's like a typical drummer. She's off for a beer now. I'm going to read this out, and it is not a lie, dear listener. It is not a lie. The health and safety executive tell health and safety Jobsworth to pull the other one. They have got fed up with the health and safety people going, oh, can't do that, health and safety. Oh, can't do that, health and safety. Can't do that, health and safety. And the chief executive of health and safety, Judith Hackett, has got hacked off.
Oh, Hackett, eh? Hackett.
Yeah, Hackett. She's got hacked off as Judith Hackett.
I just thought I'd ruin your joke like you ruined mine.
Thank you very much. And they are describing a lot of these as, and I quote, crackpot cases.
Well, they are crackpot cases, and if you get a crackpot, then that actually is a reason to have health and safety. But none of these pots are actually cracked.
No, but it's lovely to see the sort of terminology coming out of the health and safety executive talking about crackpot cases and and myths, whereby people have complained to health and safety about other people, and the health and safety executive gone, "You're having a laugh, mate. You're absolutely having a laugh." And we'll run through a few of them, shall we, Lee?
I was just going to say, one of the things of health and safety, and, you know, we're going to make fun of it, we're going to make light of it, because that's what it's there for. It's there to be lampooned. But if you think of the things that health and safety, particularly in the UK, have done, where people have died because of health and safety, like, I am thinking of the rescue services.
Yeah, sure.
Not been allowed to actually go and rescue people because of health and safety. Well, it wasn't very healthy and safe for that person who lost a life.
No, exactly. This is a problem. And Miss Hackett was saying, we will never cease to be amazed by the cases we consider. And these are some of the cases, boys and girls, that health and safety executive has had to consider in 2013, for goodness sake, already.
Yeah.
A bar that refuses to pull pints in glasses with handles.
Well, that is a ludicrous thing. I like beer, like most people know. Beer is my drink, and I like to drink out of a glass with a handle. And the thing with a glass with a handle is, if that glass smashes, you don't end up with no beer and a handful of glass. You end up with a handle in your hand.
Yes, a lot safer.
So how can that? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, ridiculous. But there was a lady who was told that in various pubs and hotels, she was actually told that she couldn't have drinks in a glass with a handle because of health and safety reasons. Well, I'll tell you what, how does somebody with an illness hold a glass, a normal pint glass? A handle one is actually a lot safer for them.
Absolutely. No matter how you look at that, a handle on a glass is really good.
And this is a great one, especially if it was from me. A guy was from London was told by a hotel chain, no less, that he couldn't have a burger served rare because of health and safety laws.
I can explain that one, though.
No, but it's rubbish.
Well, that's exactly the point I was going to make. The reason they can't have it cooked rare is because they have to overcook it to make sure the horse in it is dead.
So if you go to a hotel and say, can you have a burger? Because a lot of hotel chains now, they serve sort of like giant-sized burgers with real meat in them, proper meat.
I would like to just point out, ladies and gentlemen, he really did say total chains.
Did I say total chains?
Totel. Because you get toe in your beef burger as well.
And in fact,
like a camel star.
I'm just thinking, actually, you and I have both dined in a hotel restaurant and had beef burgers.
Have we?
Yeah.
Together?
Together.
We did.
We did. And I remember saying, and we were actually asked how we wanted the burger cooked. Whether we
That's
wanted
an
them.
Old buffet.
There you go. So. Idiot people in London, forget him. This is just wonderful. And especially where I live, because every restaurant has these, it's typical to clean your teeth carefully and modestly after your dinner with toothpicks. But apparently a restaurant in Glossop in Derbyshire, well, that explains it, were refused toothpicks on the grounds of health and safety.
Well, they can be dangerous because they're in a little pot standing up.
And I see.
It's like a little circular bed of nails. And if you had to trip up while you were sitting at the table and fell onto the table with your head, you could end up with a little circular bed of nails made out of wood sticking in your head. I agree with them.
And this one is just outrageous. Apparently, shredded paper is banned from a school's Lucky Dip store for health and safety reasons.
Why?
I don't know.
Do we not know why that is?
Well, they said it wasn't safe, according to health and safety.
How can it not be safe, a bit of shredded paper, for God's sake?
Well, it's got to be safe for lots of other stuff. And it was one of these, you know, the Lucky Dip things where you put your hand in the box and you rummage.
Well, the lid could slap shut and cut your hand off.
Yeah, and you sort of rummage around and you take your prize out, a lucky dip thing. It's got to be safe. You know, it's got to be better for the environment than using polystyrene chips or anything like that anyway. So, you know, they're just recycling paper. What's wrong with that?
I've got it. It's a school fate, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the kids have been working hard. Mm-hmm. And when you work hard, you get a bit tired.
Right.
So what you do when you're tired, you yawn. And when you yawn, you inhale quickly. Now, one of those little bits of shredded paper could shoot up down your throat and make you lie dead.
Oh, I see. Anyway, the next one is wonderful. The cot that could not be made up by a hotel chambermaid. Why?
Why?
Health and safety.
Yeah, but why? What would happen if she made the cot up?
Well, the funny thing is about it, this particular lady was in Cumbria, and she booked a cot for her toddler at a well-known UK family resort. When she got there, there was lots of things right from the place, like fire doors blocked, electrical sockets hanging off the walls, but they couldn't put a cot up for a little one.
God, honestly, I despair of Britain. I just despair of Britain. Why, what did you think would happen if you put this cot up?
I don't know. But there you go. And the final one on this particular thing, and this one, definitely, I agree, health and safety. A bubble machine, and I don't know if you remember these in the 1970s, boys and girls, if you're that old. And we all had them as DJs. You had these bubble machines, and you had those projectors that used to have the wheels that went round and round and all these flashing lights and stuff. And the bubble machines you would put at the front of the stage, put this funny squirty stuff in, which was thicker than your average washing up liquid, because I tried that once to get cheap stuff, didn't work. And you got these big bubbles that went out all over the hall, and it was all fun. But they've been banned as well now.
Well, I can understand that. You see, those bubbles could get quite big, and they float around in the air. And when you're gyrating, dancing, like Mick Jagger or that monkey Michael Jackson, one of those bubbles could smash into the side of your head and burst and make you go deaf.
Oh, I see. So, very good, very good. But apparently the council that were involved in all this said that the bubbles could get in your eyes.
Well, that's the same thing. What if one got, you see, that's the thing with it, isn't it? It's an unknown quantity. It could get in your eyes. It could make you deaf. You could be doing that yawning thing, swallow them, and it's got chemicals in it. They could fall on the floor and burst, and you could slip on them. Yeah, I agree with them.
Well, I have to say, boys and girls, there is one risk from bubble machines.
I know this one.
Yeah, there is. One of the previous Mrs. Wiltshire's fell over due to my bubble machine. just underneath the stage where I was.
What was she doing under the stage?
Well, because the stage was higher than the dance floor.
Well, why was she underneath? Why wasn't she in the middle of the dance floor?
Because I think she was dancing.
And she danced under the stage?
She danced in the front down. So you've got an upraised stage. Shut up. So anyway, the bubble machine was at the front of the stage blowing bubbles out. I was hosting as the DJ, you see. And so she got very upset because she went and slipped. She went A over A and ended up...
Is that what the army called themselves?
I think so. And she ended up splattering herself on the floor and ruining her T-shirt. I was so nice.
Was it wet?
No, it was a bit dirty because of the dance floor more than anything. So I was so nice. I gave her a Davrick Roadshow T-shirt as compensation.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was his moniker when he was a DJ, Davrick.
Yes, Davrick.
Why not Rick Dav?
I don't know, really.
Or Van Kira.
No, it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. You're quite right.
No, it doesn't. We don't need no education. Bieber's in town. Five schools have changed dates for midterm exams amid fears pupils may skip the test to attend gigs in Oslo.
That's ridiculous.
Well, just tell them they failed then.
Do you know there's a porn site called Justin Bieber?
Yeah, well, probably. But anyway, absolutely true. Canadian stars going into the Norwegian capital on the 16th and 17th of April, and the Minister of Education has actually changed the date of exams to suit Justin Bieber. Ban him!
I don't care.
Ban him! Just say you can't come in the country on those days. We're having exams.
Yeah, he's pathetic, really, isn't he?
I think he's a wimp.
I think he's a wimp and pathetic, and he should be taken out and shot.
Well, somebody said on the television the other day, his trousers should be taken down, his legs smacked.
Now you're just being a pervert. That's
no,
on that,
no that was on the TV. It's absolutely...
Well, it might have been on the TV. You can also connect your computer up to the TV.
No comment. I think, well, now actually, looking at him with his monkey and all the rest of it, I have a vague feeling he's trying to impersonate somebody else who's no longer with us.
That Michael Monkey Jackson?
Yeah. Yeah.
The younger version of that very old Mickey Monkey Jagger.
That's the one. Anyway, let's move on to something slightly more sensible. Contradiction in terms there. Ozzy Osbourne in fashion.
You silly Billy! No, this is the public right, I'm going to read this, right? Let's see how good this journalism is. Right, ladies and gentlemen, I am reading from the news story about this, which has nothing to do with Ozzy Osbourne, actually. Public engagement is high on the list of priorities for organisers of Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week Australia, which begins on Monday.
Never mind.
Is that all it's about?
Yeah.
See, the thing is, what I wanted to say is that actually, if you actually look at Australia now, particularly in Perth and places like that, it is a very, very fashionable place.
Is Queensland fashionable? Is that not the case now Rachel's there?
It's probably just gone down the nick in the last couple of weeks, but it was very fashionable. But it is. It's a place that's saying when London used to set the world on fire and New York used to set the world on fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
we're just virtually out of time. I've got just time for this one. A 911 call in America. Snakes alive! Now I'm homeless. A woman in Texas called 911, didn't she, Lee?
God, yeah. I can't believe that, honestly. She found a snake in her house, right, in Liberty, a lure in Texas. And she found the snake and she thought, well, I'm going to kill that snake. I'm not taking any chances. So she doused it in gasoline
petrol,
and set it on fire, which then burnt her house down.
It was amazing. You know... I was trying to kill a snake with a fire.
Yeah.
It done.
Why not kill it with ammo?
This is a transcript from the 911 recording, or 112, or 999, wherever you are. We were trying to kill a snake with fire. It done caught the house. Caught the house. Yes, the house is on fire. Could you hurry, please? And apparently, what this snake had done is because it was been doused in petrol and set on fire. Of course, it tried to scurry away into some brushwood, and of course the brush pile caught on fire, and seconds later the home's on fire. Well,
how does the snake scurry away?
I have no idea. But what, who would be...
Why didn't he just roll over and try and put the flames out? He's got no legs or arms, nothing
no,
to stop.
No. But what idiot would put petrol on a snake inside a house, for goodness sake? Oh, well. That was it. Again, congratulations to the winners of the Rapid 2D competition with Microsoft. We'll be back again next week. Hopefully, Rach, get better. We'll see you soon. Say goodbye, Lee.
Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.